Yar, matey, check the sails and get the lead out. It's time we return to the open seas and get our pirate hat on while we haul in the jib. Set the main sails and let them blow. Feel the salt water against your skin. This is the pirate regimen that you've seen on all the Instagram reels. And can you hear that? Yeah, matey. It's the call of the seagulls. You're getting close to land. Oh, and what's that? It's the sound of cannonballs. Load the cannons and get ready to return fire as we sail the South China Sea with Zheng Yi Cao and the Six Flag Fleet.
I didn't see you there.
Something big is going on here.
From hunting ghosts to Bigfoot.
Paranormal, UFOs, true crime, and more.
We won't just be spouting articles.
I was researching for your entertainment.
The beginning of a new world.
The best guac you'll ever fucking eat.
True story.
It's basically like one day you walk outside and you see that the ants are playing with matches.
This is the Black Cat Report. See you on the other side.
Welcome to the Black Cat Report in episode 85. I'm Joey, and with me is the ghost-loving, true-crime-binging, UFO-hunting, MUFON member, Gil.
Hello.
Well, before we get into the story, we just want to say, if you see me out in the world somewhere, or Gil out in the world somewhere, or us on video for our reels, check out our BCR hat, well, my BCR hat, and BCR t-shirt, and also check out Gil's BCR sweatshirt.
Yeah.
They're pretty badass. We're just sampling them right now.
Coming to a market near you soon, but tonight I am I'm rocking a Paranorm Girl shirt proudly right now.
There you go. I'm actually not wearing my BCR hat or my BCR t-shirt right now. So.
Or anything.
You'll see me out in the world wearing it, though. Well, let's get into the story. Zheng Yi Cao was a Chinese pirate in the 19th century who ended up commanding over 1,000 ships and around 80,000 men, which is pretty freaking crazy. It was basically a whole empire by itself. During her reign over the seas, she would become the world's most feared pirate. Her rise from literal poverty to one of the richest people in China at the time showed how smart and fearless she really was, as well as how to maneuver around the laws and customs at the times. Let's meet the lady who did it all and conquered it all.
I gotta throw in there too, right up top. Zheng Yi Cao is hands down the most successful pirate in history. She is the biggest pirate in history. And
yes,
her story, Joey and I found out about her like months ago, and we've just been waiting to do this. It's fucking insane. What she does and how she pulls it off is like, you don't even have to be into pirates to like hear this shit and just, like, it'll blow you away. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, this is fucking nuts.
To appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, to appreciate everything she's done and she does. We'll get into, like, the ending of her story, too, but, like, damn, it's pretty awesome.
She's so fucking dope.
Yep. Which she also is on the new season of Our Flag Means Death, which, to be fair, I don't watch the show. I only find out that they're on the show after I research into the pirate, so it's kind of funny. And then I don't watch the show until after I've done the episode, because I don't want to be, you know, get any ideas that the fictional part that they play is actually how they are in real life, which, you know, Steed Bonnet is not really that crazy.
Yeah, he is.
He's just bad.
He did lose a fight to a ship on land.
Yes, he did.
But no, Zheng Yi Cao is,
I mean,
like,
I'm pretty sure the Navy's done it too.
But like, Zheng Yi Cao, they don't need to do shit to make this, like, to add fiction to this.
Zheng Yi Cao was born in the Jinhu, Guangdong City in China. So basically that's like southeastern China. It's kind of near where Hong Kong is. She was born in the year 1775. We actually don't have the exact dates because records weren't kept as well back then. And to be fair, I want to say something off top. They really didn't keep the dates of when women were born.
Yeah.
There is few times in here where they're like, the male was born on this exact date.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, and she had a daughter born sometime in this year. And it's just like, come on. Come on. It's not that hard. You know, they're your kids. Remember the date. She was born during the time of the Qing Dynasty, which was christened in 1612 and lasted all the way until 1912. When it was overthrown by the Xinhua Revolution. And I do want to say also, there's a lot of hard pronunciations for me, and I'm doing my best. So if you want to correct me, please email us at contact@blackcat.report or haters@blackcat.report. because, you know, I'm just doing my best here, guys. I appreciate if you could correct me. So, well, we won't go into the revolution here because the massive history involved in it. And we only have one episode for Jingyi Cao. So, yeah, we won't go into it. But maybe one day we'll do it. Well, not much is really known about Yi Cao's early days of her life. But what is known is that she somehow found her way as a sex worker. And the late 1700s and early 1800s in the Canton region, which is where Yi Cao was born, they had a unique thing, right? This thing was called a flower boat, right? I don't know if you've ever heard of one of these, Gil. Have you?
No.
Okay. Well, this is a genius idea for the way. So it was basically a floating pleasure parlor.
Okay.
So if you want to think of it, just think of Jabba the Hutt's sail barge.
Yeah.
The katana. Yeah.
Gotcha.
They would have dance shows, drinks would be flowing, a woman chained up to a big fat piece of blubber.
Yeah. This, I mean,
maybe that's just Star Wars.
No,
or maybe not.
Based on a true story.
Yeah, that's probably not.
But that's like work's not getting done that day when that ship pulls into town.
No, no.
Like everybody's just being like, well, bye.
And what's cool is they would just float up and down the rivers and the coastlines, and they'd serve the ships. They'd actually go up to ships.
Yeah.
So like they'd go up to pirate ships, they'd go up to business like port ships, they go to ports in Canton, mm-hmm. and they just serve everything because it's like, okay, cool. Like it's basically an Uber.
Yeah.
It's basically an Uber.
It's like a gambling riverboat.
Get you to the pub.
Almost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's the perfect thing. Yep. Well, it's here we would find her. To start it off, Jingyi Cao literally translates into wife of Zhang Zi. So that's literally what we call her in the story. But her real name, which was found out a little while later, was Shi Yang. So that's, we'll call her Zhi Zhao because that's kind of what she's been just talked about the whole time. And that's how she's historically referred to. So like Shi Yang is kind of what she was called when she was young. They found out later. It was a long historical thing to find it out, but they eventually found it out. She also had a lot of other names. So she's also been called Shi Zhangyu, Shek Yung, and Qing Shi. So thank you. I hope I pronounce those right. Well, as much as not known about her younger days, we will just start off in 1801 when a lot of her record keeping kind of started and kind of when she started getting known to people. She was about 26 at this time. Zhi Cao was working on the flower boat in the area of Canton, and it was not made clear if she was an actual sex worker, so I want to like clear this up. It's not made clear if she was a sex worker or if she just worked on the boat. So I know that I said she's a sex worker, but she's just on the boat. She's not serving, you know, serving drinks. She probably was dancing, doing stuff like that, but it's not made known if she was actually, you know, having sex with people for money.
She was just in charge of popcorn, to be honest. That was her one job, which was a hard job back then.
Somebody's corn was getting popped that day. So during this time, when she was 26, she and a few of the other sex workers were kidnapped off their boat by the pirate Zhang Yi. The women were brought to him for his delights, if you know what I mean.
Popcorn.
Yes. Well, Zhang Yi was getting to the age of marrying and he wanted to bear a son. So he's tired. This is the pirate Zhang Yi. He looked over the women as he was going through. Mm-hmm. You know, he saw all these women. He's like, I wonder. Just gazing at him. And then he stops on Yi Cao. And he says, this is the most beautiful woman I have ever seen. And right there, he asked her to marry him.
Just like popcorn butter all over her apron, just like holding one of those scoops.
And then he popped the question.
Mm.
So she was untied, which is I thought was weird, so that she could give him an answer, right? So like they were just like, okay, we want to make it so I guess you're free to give an answer so that you can marry. You know, it wasn't like trying to be a force thing.
Oh, wait. So you're saying that he didn't force her to marry her or marry him, she is actively being kidnapped.
Yes.
So this is still obviously coercion. Like, you were kidnapped.
Oh, obviously.
And you were on a pirate ship and the captain is like, I want you to be my wife. And you're just like, sure. So, I mean, you don't have to say yes. It's just like everybody's around you with swords and shit.
Well, to be fair, as soon as she was untied, she jumped at him and started to claw his eyes out, right?
Hell yeah,
girl. She just goes crazy.
Fuck
She's like, fuck you. And so
hell yeah.
he was even more impressed the way that she fought him and said, was like, yeah, that's the one. That's the one I really want to marry.
It's just like, why does every dog that I find that I fall in love with die so soon? Sir, that's because you only pick the dogs with rabies. I know, but they're just so feisty.
Yeah, right? But, and think of it, like, he's a pirate, you know? He probably is used to just taking what he wants.
Yeah.
In this area, and he's got a lot of ships, so.
Oh, dude. Yeah, can you imagine what he's like in the bedroom?
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine what he's like in the bedroom? Oh, my God, he loves to be degraded. He fucking loves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah, he wants to be talked down to.
Uh-huh.
Well, I know there was a moment there where they were looking into each other's eyes. You know the one. And I will always love you. That moment? No, not that moment? Okay, well.
You know, they had that moment where they looked into each other's eyes, or he was trying to, but he couldn't see, and she couldn't actually see into his eyes because she had just clawed them out, but they had a stare.
Well, after she was restrained because she was clawing his eyes out, like you just said, yeah. Instead of saying yes, mm-hmm. She says, I will marry you if you give me half of your fleet and your treasure.
Damn!
I'm not taking shit from you. I want it all.
I love when people are known historically for being, like, incredible negotiators, but then you actually hear about the moment they negotiated, and they're just like, half. And that's, like, all they said. It's just like, how is that good negotiation?
Yeah,
they just said it.
It's,
like, is that all they have to do?
It's crazy, too. You know he had to be, like, taken back.
Oh, yeah.
Because... again, like, you know, he's like, oh, we kidnapped this person and took her on board, and then now I'm giving up half my fleet to marry this person.
I just see the pirates, other pirates in the background, like, damn, she's good. She's like really good.
Yeah, damn, I'd follow her. If there isn't a more like pressing, not even a metaphor, just literal marriage that's happening at this moment.
She did not start off slow. Like, she immediately was like, oh, you're one of the biggest, baddest pirates. Give me half your fleet. Bitch, I don't care if you kidnapped me. Give me half your fucking fleet. Like, damn.
Yeah, literally. She took half of everything that she wanted. You know, and what, that's so crazy. Like, I to be in that situation where she's tied up in a pirate ship,
mm-hmm.
just went for it all.
Yeah.
You know? She swung for the fences.
Mm-hmm.
She hit a home run.
Home run.
Yep. So... they ended up getting married in 1801. During this time and during the marriage until 1802, Zheng Yi was fighting in the Tay Son Wars in modern-day Vietnam, which got his brother Zheng Qi killed, and Zheng Yi took all of his brother's ships and sailed back to the Canton area.
Okay.
So his brother was basically fighting in this war. It was from, you know, what is modern-day Vietnam, and there was a huge, long history in this war. And he had a huge fleet. He was made, his Zheng Yi's brother was made a commander in this fleet, admiral. What is equivalent of an admiral in our Navy. Took this fleet, and he gets killed in the war. Eventually, the war ends, and Zheng Yi's like, well, I'm just going to take this fleet. They don't have anything else to do.
Yeah.
And he's like, cool, we're just all going to be pirates.
Yeah.
Like, we literally trained to be on the sea. Let's just keep going, because, I mean, what else are we going to do?
Pirate life for me, you know?
Well, the most of the time, there are many, many warring factions and small groups of ships sailing around the South China Sea, just raiding and looting areas, right? So there's a lot of them. What is funny to me is that this small group of ships is most likely what Blackbeard and Mary Read and Anne Bonny had. They had, like, 4 to 7 ships and raiding parties, right?
Yeah.
Which is for the Caribbean coast was a lot.
Yeah.
But in the South China Sea and that area, Zheng Yi would put that number to shame, right? Once Yi Sao and Zheng Yi were back in the area, they started recruiting pirates into their fleet and formed a huge confederation and signed the charter in July of 1805, so around that time. Now, most pirates, as we know, had the democratic system from what we described in the past pirate episodes, right? Of voting on things as a group, and this was no different in the smaller pirate ships in China. Like, they had the similar things. The pirate ships in China were a little smaller than the normal ones in the Caribbean, so they were just smaller ships.
Yeah.
Right? The group of pirates agreed to get into a confederation for the greater good. So, basically, they got all these captains together. They pulled them together, had a meeting, and were like, look, we're going to get destroyed by the Chinese Navy.
Yeah.
We have to band together You know, we have to band together so that if we're not getting destroyed, we have to, even if we're still going out doing other things, raiding other different coasts, if we call each other, we're coming. We're all coming. Yeah. You know, you're calling in the band. Well, they separated them into six different fleets, and they were, you know, assigned flag colors, right? So there was the red, the black, the blue, the yellow, and the purple, right? So Xing Yi commanded everyone in the red flag group, which was also by far the biggest one. Each other color group was commanded by another captain. So, like,
yeah,
they basically created their own Navy group.
It was an alliance.
And admirals and all down the chain of command.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
pretty much. Literally the same thing as the Chinese Navy had. So it kind of worked really well because as most of the Confederation was going, they're sitting there like, cool, the Confederation's good.
Mm-hmm.
We're following orders. If there's one person on top, we're all following that person. So it kind of worked, which is not like a normal pirate thing.
Well, they're also like coming out of having actively been in the Navy. So like, it's not like they're like,
yep,
you know, they're like, well, what system can we use? Well, how about a version of the one that we're literally all familiar with already? You know?
Yep. True. Yeah, true. And that super helped because Caribbean pirates and the South China Sea pirates, I feel like, were way different. Yeah, some of the Caribbean pirates were in the Navy at some points in their life or were on ships that were in the Navy. They literally were like, I don't want anything to do with being part of a group, you know?
There
was rarely commanders. There was really captains that actually, I mean, look what Blackbeard did. He marooned his whole crew and went off and just fucked off randomly and did what he wanted to do, you know?
Yeah.
And killed every, you know, was like, whatever. These people were like, no, we're going to stay together.
Yeah.
Which is why they had some success. Well, throughout these years, Zheng Yi and Yi Sao weren't just sitting on their hands. They were getting busy.
Ooh.
And I mean getting busy.
Popcorn?
Gil.
Yes.
Somebody was about to have some kids. So Yi Sao eventually had a son named Zheng Yingxi in 1803 and another son, Zheng Zhongxi, in 1807. Zheng Yi also had basically abducted another boy in 1798 who was 15 named Zhang Bao and pressed him into piracy from a fishing village they had raided.
Captain, what do you want us to do with the boy that just stabbed you? I want to make him my son.
He probably he's like, I'm very proud of this guy.
This guy's good.
But this wasn't super abnormal, you know? Like at the time, it wasn't super abnormal. This would happen all the time.
Yeah.
Not necessarily with pirates, but just people that lost their fathers. And I mean, probably Zheng Yi killed his father and then was like,
there's
now you're
chance.
My son.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, a good chance. Well, after they had raided and they took him, they eventually adopted him, you know, as a son and included him in his plans for piratical dominance.
Hell yeah.
Well, as they were going around raiding, pillaging, and loving tenderly the coastlines and small islands of the South China Sea, I like to say it like that, Zheng Yi died in a tsunami when he was thrown overboard in a huge gale.
Oh, damn.
In November of 1807. Yeah.
Damn.
So basically, dad's dead, right?
Yeah. I kind of like the storm. Ah!
Yeah, pirate leader, he's dead. This effectively left the red flag fleet to be manned by Zheng Bao, which was the custom at the time, right? So it was like, okay, it passes to the next son.
Yeah.
Well, not always.
Oh.
So they give it to the oldest living son, you know. Well, to be fair, Zheng Yi wasn't having that, and it wasn't super uncommon for her to take over the duties of the deceased spouse in leadership or even, you know, even though women were thought of as basically baby machines, especially in this area and most of that time,
I got to step you there, though, because like there is a huge difference between like Western chauvinism and like gender roles and how women get represented and Eastern. And like there's intricacies there that entire series could be made around that sort of thing. But
for sure.
In terms of, like, women running shit in the East, that's not nearly as mind-blowing of a concept as it is in the West, honestly, as it still is in the West. Like, in the East, women were allowed to fight. Women were allowed to join into the military. Women were allowed to, like, lead shit. You know, still totally, like, knocked down below the men in terms of, like, the actual, like, heights that they were allowed to go or expected to be able to go in, like, in society, but
yeah,
it was a different system. It's an entirely different system. Like, even the way that, like, you know, in the East, it wouldn't be as common, or it wouldn't be as uncommon for women to be able to speak up, like Zhang Yisao, and be like, actually, I want this,
oh,
and
da, sure, da, yeah, da, da, da.
And people wouldn't just be like, she's fucking crazy, she's a woman. You know, they'd be like, well, she's got a point. You know, like, it, so it's different. I want to throw that out there. You can't look at it through, like, our Western eyes, you know?
Yeah. But, and to go into this too, this was a nice sidebar I had coming up too, anyways. So the book that I was reading, and I'll go into the references at the end of the story. The book I was reading went into a whole freaking chapter about feet binding, because it was a huge practice at this time. Pretty much, I think, started in like the 1600s all the way going up until, yeah, still pretty recently it happens.
Yeah.
People do this, which, ugh, is horrible. And what's really bad, so I didn't know exactly what went into feet binding, right?
Oh,
so I found out, and I do want to describe it to you guys, because this is like horrible. They would basically break the bones of your feet.
Okay.
So like, they're cracking your bones and your feet, uh-huh, just so that they could grow together, and then they bind them with, you know, really, really tight wrappings, and so that they heal into the shape that was most appealing to them. Basically, what they call it is lotus feet. So they grow into like lotus feet, and they actually made shoes for them, like into lotus feet. That's because it was such a huge practice. And it started as like, you know, a sign of wealth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just like a, you know, a lot of stuff like spray tans. I don't know. I don't know if that's the greatest thing. Trying to be a sign of wealth. That's the funniest thing I could think of at the moment. Spray tans. But it started with people in it's a terrible thing to say. A terrible thing to compare it to.
Pound feet are just as bad as spray tans. Remember that this election season.
This election season, exactly. And it started going down into like the lower classes, because obviously they're trying to like,
yeah, emulate.
Get into, I don't know, look, emulate, you know? And one of the biggest things too that made a big deal about it was that the lower classes would do it so that their daughters or
they could marry up,
or like the mothers wouldn't have to work,
mm-hmm,
and they can move up. And so, because you can't work if your feet are broken.
Yeah, pretty
and
much.
They would walk in these weird gate, like they call it, the author said it was like they'd walk in these weird gates of like they barely were able to
tap,
walk,
tap, 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 tap.
But
yeah,
tap, tap, like real, real light, you know,
mm-hmm,
as walking. But I really think this was the first signs and instances in starting of the foot fetish, because this is like literally the government promoted this. The government sent out like pamphlets on how to love feet.
Damn. Okay, I have to argue though, we had a debate about this via text.
We did earlier. Yes.
I was saying that it started with the Romans and like their obsession with sandals. But like, how do you think we got the phrase like thongs, right? For your shoes. Like,
truth.
All foot fetish. All foot fetish. That's my take. But hey, you know. Which also would actually make Jesus a nudist, because most of the time he just walked around barefoot.
I mean, if you saw a bunch of people or you were at like a fish concert, you'd see a throng of thongs. Cool. Anyways, Zhang Yisao got to consolidating the fleet.
Uh-huh.
And usually what happens when a leader dies is that the people will start siphoning off and going their own ways,
yeah,
right? So like leader power struggle, they'll all start taking.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this was curtailed when Xing Yi named her adopted son, Zheng Bao, as the leader of the Red Flag Fleet. So she was like, okay, my husband ran this fleet. Now my son's going to run this fleet, right?
Yeah.
They effectively gave her the support she needed to keep everyone almost in line, right? So it basically gave her the idea of like, okay, well, you're putting him in charge, so maybe you might be the one really in charge, you know?
Yeah.
So this led to a weird thing that happened, and she ended up getting married to Zheng Bao.
Her son?
So Zhang Yisao, yeah, she gets married to her son not that long after this happens.
Damn.
Not that long after her
husband adopted
dies.
Son?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, at least it's her adopted
son.
Yeah,
I mean, it's,
you know,
still
not
messed
her
up,
actual
but it's
son.
Like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and there was a lot of, like, talk, like, and rumor at this point of that she had already started fooling around with the adopted son before he died, but that, you know, that there's always rumor about that kind of stuff, especially when it happens, and especially when it happens right after right after he dies.
I'm beginning to wonder if the tsunami was like actually her like nickname, and when in the historical records they wrote that like a tsunami threw the captain off the boat, it was actually Zhang Yi Cao just being like, yup. He's like, I love you. Old splash.
Zhang Yi tsunami.
Yes.
Zhang Yi Saonami. Well, this basically consolidated power even more, you know? So a lot of times they said when they talked to her, when they talked to Zhang Bao, right? And they're asking him questions, and he would go, I have to go ask my wife. And he'd just walk off and go ask her.
And then walk over and be like, hey, mom, I got a question.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So not only was Zhang Bao the brother of Zhang Jiangxi and Zhang Jingxi, he was now also the father. So basically a redneck brother father.
Damn.
Yeah. And Zhang Yi was the mother's sister.
Okay.
In-law.
Damn.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Little intricate family
really
thing
put,
there.
Put up the gates around the system there.
Oh, yeah. It felt like they were going very British. Very like monarch UK, right?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't just sit on their heels like last time and raid small villages, and you know, they just didn't do that. Like most of the people did. Like they raid, the only thing that the Caribbean pirates did was raid Charleston. Remember? That was the biggest thing that they ever did.
Yeah.
They raided Charleston. And they did okay with it.
They did okay. Yeah.
They only got medicine. You know, it was pretty stupid. But they're about to do crazy things.
The fleet that Zhang Yi Cao ends up commanding puts every single pirate ship in the Caribbean, like, if they were all banded together, all of them at once, they would be a drop in the bucket. Like, everything you know about Western pirates, consolidate all that down into one union, and they would get their fucking asses handed to them by Zhang Yi Cao. This shit will literally move nations. Like, it is insane where this goes.
And we're about to get into their battles. Literally about to.
So dope.
Well, in September 1808, the Red Fleet destroyed 35 ships off the coast of what is now Shenzhen.
Yeah.
Commanded by Lin Guleng, who was the provincial brigade general of Human. They basically just surprise attacked them. Not even a month later, they again attacked another Qing Dynasty fleet and won. This time they attacked the Lieutenant Colonel Lin Fa near present-day Weiyan Island. They pretty much decimated the provincial fleet and reduced their numbers by half.
God damn.
They destroyed almost all of Qing Dynasty's fleet just in two battles.
And this is China's, at this point, still is, but like at this point especially, one of the most advanced nations on the planet in terms of technology and shit. Like, still, you know, just desolate poverty exists all over China at this time, obviously. But, like, this is a pirate fleet that is actively taking down portions of, like, the U.S. Navy.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's going on in this situation.
They're not running from them.
No.
They're not running from them like the Caribbean pirates. They're just meeting them head on and fully going after them.
Whooping their ass.
Yeah. Well, these two battles, like, wrecking the fleet, led the pirates to be able to enter the Pearl River. And the Pearl River is and was one of the most important rivers in China, as it flows inland from the South China Sea.
Yeah.
And it goes from Hong Kong all the way to Guangzhou, which is like super crazy big trade ports in that area.
Yeah.
So the Qing Dynasty pretty much has no backup. They can't beat them. They're just like, okay, well, we gotta let them take over, right?
So the government of China, the kingdom, the dynasty.
Yep.
It's just like, we can't really do shit about this. This is insane.
Yeah. This was one of the most important victories for the pirates, because now it allowed them to get into and set up their business model that allowed the fleet to function for so many years and remain together.
They literally stopped, dropped, shut them down, and then opened up shop.
Open up shop.
Yeah.
Yep.
The DMX read Zhang Yi Cao's biography when he's like, I got it. Like, the words I need.
Roof, roof. The business model was not one unlike that maybe we know of today. that cartels and the mob employed.
Uh-huh.
And maybe Northrop Grumman. I'm not really sure.
Lockheed Martin.
Definitely no connection there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They basically became security.
Nice.
Right? So they raided the small towns and eventually were just like, well, they tell the businesses and villages, we'll actually protect you from the other pirates and the provincial government if they come calling.
See how easy it was for us to come in? Wouldn't it be bad if that happened again, which is why you should hire us. I mean, honestly, this worked for Zheng Yi Cao when she met her husband, which was just like, she just fucking attacked his ass, and then now she's doing this shit, so she's like, well, it's gotta work all the time now.
And it did.
It works.
They protected them from other pirates. Mm-hmm. They protect them from the government. They protected them from themselves, which was pretty much the only people that they had to fear were yeah. themselves, because they had destroyed or convinced other pirates to come into their fleets. Mm-hmm. So they're just like, well, you could be protected from us and the, you know, government. Well, they basically paid them money.
Yeah.
They received from the business and villages and along the rivers and coasts, and they supported all of the confederations of ships. So now they could just go wherever they wanted. They didn't have to work technically, as long as they just came into these ports and places along the ships around there, as long as they came in every once in a while and just kind of showed little force, show that they're there.
They're controlling the most important trade routes. So like all the money has got to go through their hands.
Yep.
Yeah.
They basically became a government.
Yeah.
I want to say, yeah. Because they were taking, technically, they were just taxing them.
It was a protection racket, but whatever.
Well, I mean. Well, there we go. Well, in March 1809, there was another major battle. So they had basically been raiding these rivers, just protecting, taking money. In 1809, a smaller pirate fleet called for aid from Zheng Yi Cao, because they were being harassed by the provincial commander, Sun Quan Mo, who had about 100 ships under his command. Yeah, it was basically one of the other smaller pirate fleets, you know, that was around them, one of the other flags. And she's like, okay, I guess I got to come help
yeah.
because we are a confederation.
Yeah.
So this other guy, you know, the provincial commander, Sun Quan Mo, had about 100 ships. So it's
a
good amount
just
of ships.
Just 100 ships.
Yeah, it's a good amount of ships. Yeah. Yeah.
He was just starting
yeah,
off.
Yeah, just 100. They were about near Dawanshan Island. Mm-hmm. So that's just south, near South China Sea.
This is pretty much all in the South China Sea.
Yeah, everything going on. The Pearl River just goes up straight through into China, but it's all going around.
None of it happens in northern China.
No. Because the rivers, they wouldn't be able to get boats up to those rivers. So Zheng Yi had about 10 ships to start the battle attack from the front, right? Mm-hmm. So, and she had another part of her fleet swing around behind, so about 20 to 30 ships, and see if they could pincer the 100 ships in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the battle progressed, they weren't quite destroying them super quick.
Mm-hmm.
So she decided, I'm just going to take the red flag fleet and the white fleet, and we're just going to go up and destroy them. And so they just like came
just
in.
Just going to juggernaut this shit.
Yeah, they juggernauted them, and they routed them.
Damn.
They routed them right after she came in and just destroyed them.
Yeah.
Right? So they ended up running. And about 2 months later, the Qing fleet again went into battle with Zheng Yi. I don't think that they're like, I don't think that they understand that they're just going to lose.
Yeah.
But this time, the Qing dynasty came out victorious. The one time.
Oh, damn. That was, they like,
yep.
That was their. They sealed their like their death wish. Like at that point,
uh-huh.
Like I have a feeling Zheng Yi Cao is not going to take that lightly.
No. Well, the Qing fleet commanded by Brigade General Zhu Tinggui defeated and destroyed the whole White Flag fleet.
Damn.
And its leader Ling Bao near Guangdong. So basically, White Flag fleet gone.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's a good amount of ships.
Yeah,
I don't know, have an exact number. How many ships?
Well, it's because nobody could tell that they were trying to surrender.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, stop. What the fuck, man?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't. I don't know if that actually means, you know, white flag in the, but in the Chinese admiralty, but maybe.
I think they're just like, this is where the phrase came from. They're like, don't end up like that guy. And they're just like, yeah, no, totally.
They just kept waving the white flag. And he's like, is that his underwear?
Half the people
or
are
is
cheering.
The white flag.
Yeah. The other half are running and crying.
Yeah. Yeah, and they just got decimated. Mm. And to be fair, Jingyi Cao wasn't there, and so this is why I think it was like a big thing for her to miss it. I mean, granted, you know, like she goes with the Red Flag Fleet because that's the biggest part of it. That's the one her son commands, her son husband, mm-hmm. husband son commands,
husband.
Yeah. So she wasn't there. She was just gone off somewhere else, and they didn't have enough time to call in help,
yeah.
right? And so she was pretty pissed,
yeah.
just like you said. Pretty pissed that the government was cracking down on them and killed one of her fleet leaders and one of her whole fleets.
Yeah,
Jingyi ordered massive, massive raids on the coastlines of the Pearl River and the South China Sea, right? So she was like, screw it. I don't care that they're paying us anymore. We're just going to take everything,
yeah.
and we're going to kill everybody. So in August 1809, Zheng Bao raid around Dongguan with the Red Flag Fleet. Guo Padai would raid around Shundi with the Black Flag Fleet. And Zhengyi Cao led the raid around Jinhui with her personal fleet. So, right? Basically, they split up more like, we're going to raid everything and just screw everybody else. So,
yeah.
Guo Padai worked his way through the numerous waterways along the Pearl River for 6 weeks and ended up killing around 12,000 people.
Holy shit, dude.
Just raided them. And like, they just didn't care anymore. They didn't want to take prisoners. They didn't give a fuck. They just like kill them. And I personally believe that it was not just 12,000 people.
Yeah.
I feel like this is just like a very low number. And the reason I say that is because it's not always just them killing people. It's a lot of the unintended deaths of people starving from their food supplies being taken, from their houses being burned down, from the ports being gone. Like, it's just so much stuff that you don't really take into account.
Well, we also have to, like, you know, just like you said, right up at the top of the show, which was like, most of the time they like barely even recorded when women were born. So like,
yeah.
when they're,
yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
when
true.
They're also marking how many, you know, thousands of people were killed, like, pretty sure it was the same dude walking around with a notebook writing shit down, you know, like.
And now he's just looking at, he looks at a man, he's like, dead. Looks at a woman, he's like, one's dead.
Excuse me,
guy.
Pushes them
two.
Away. Oh, God, there's a man under here.
Yeah, kiss them away. Oh, there's a man under. That must be two. Doesn't count the woman yeah. as dead. He's like, whatever, it's fine. And that's true, which is terrible. And
yeah.
Awful. But that was what well, happened, so.
And I wanna also, like, throw in here, too. Like, the thing is that the government fucked up because their plan of attack for dealing with the pirates was, like, out at sea, and it was away from the bases and stuff like that. Kind of the unspoken agreement when the pirates come in and they like take a huge province or they take a huge region of land and, you know, set up these extortion rackets and start collecting quote unquote taxes and all this other shit, is that all of those citizens are now 100% a buffer against the government coming in. Right? It's not like the citizens
yep.
want to be under pirate rule, but they get used to it. Life goes on. That's just how humans are.
Yep.
But like, so the pirates are like, oh, you're still gonna fuck with us. Did you forget what we could do? Did you forget what the fuck we could do? We could just start taking out population here. Remember how we were chill? We were just taking some money? All right. Gloves are off. Like, and that is one of the most like normal reactions for a large criminal organization in history, which is just like, oh,
for sure.
Oh, you forgot how deep we were. Like,
yeah, it's the idea of collateral damage.
Yeah.
You know, they're basically
well,
like,
that was
well,
the original threat.
Gonna...
That was the original threat
yep.
when they established themselves, and the government's like, you ain't gonna do it. And they're like, oh, we will.
Yeah. Well, that didn't stop there.
Yeah.
So in early September of 1809, Zheng Bao's fleet completely destroyed a large town
damn.
Not far from Human and killed over 2,000 people.
Shit.
So we're adding that. If you're keeping count, that's 14,000 people in just a couple of months, and a whole town. They literally destroyed the town, Jesus. And there's no town there. So they're just like, screw it. That was like, they're just rampaging, you know?
Yeah.
They're pissed. They had the deal with the government, in quotations, that you don't mess with us like this.
Yeah.
And they broke it. To be fair, this was the last straw for the Qing dynasty. They're like, okay, they destroyed all these people. We were kind of good, even though we were kind of hunting you down. You weren't going and killing thousands of people.
Yeah.
So they decided it's time to reach out to someone else to help us. We need some help. So at this time, there were a lot of countries trying to get a foothold in China, right? The UK, France, Spain.
To this day.
Well, also, to this day, still doing the same thing. And the Portuguese were also trying to get a foothold in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot of
ships. Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
They had probably, weirdly enough, this small little country,
mm-hmm.
you know, is small now. It probably wasn't just as small.
They couldn't fit. They had to start giving birth out at sea.
Yep. They had a huge amount of ships.
Yep.
So they were like, okay, well, we'll lend you a hand. You know, you have all these pirates. We're pretty adept ourselves at hunting pirates, right?
Yep.
So we've been doing it for a while. They also already had a foothold and controlled Macau at the time. So they already had a few ships in the area. They used Macau as a trading port, too, to get into China. So there was only one port that foreigners were allowed to trade out of, right? And this was in Guangzhou, which was where most of the pirates were already in the area there. But it was also along the Pearl River. So it was where the pirates were controlling.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of the other countries had a reason why they would, hey, we need to help them out so that we can continue our trade, right?
Yeah.
So in early November of 1809, Yi Sao decided to anchor a few ships and get them repaired in the Tongcheng Bay. Well, the Portuguese sent in three ships to harass her. So obviously, Xing Yi was like, well, what am I going to do? Calls out for aid from the rest of the Red Flag Fleet. And her son, Xing Bao. And they flew with all speed and arrived about 2 days later, right? So they get there. Portuguese are just gone.
Yeah.
They were harassing her first, and then we're like, yeah, we'll leave. We're done. So Zhang's like, okay. Xing Bao's like, I might as well just stay and get repaired as well. And they stay there for a bit. 3 days later, the Portuguese returned, this time with five brigs and one frigate. These things are huge. They blockaded the fleet into the Tongcheng Bay. So they're sitting there, they're harassing them, they're peppering them with cannonballs, they're keeping them stuck there, keeping them not repaired, they're just holding them in there. So 12 days after that, 93 ships from the Qing Provincial Fleet also arrived.
Damn.
To help blockade in Xing Yi Sao and Zhang Bao's pirate fleet, right? So the pirate fleet counterattacked to try and break the blockade and get out to back to the South China Sea and the Pearl River to get out. But they couldn't because
they were trapped.
Had unfavorable winds.
Nope.
They just had unfavorable winds. Like, no joke. They were good. And this is what was such a weird thing in a lot of ships, right? So it's like in a lot of battles, it's like you can just have bad winds and lose.
Yeah.
You can be a good commander. But good commanders usually can, like, know when the wind's going to be at the right thing and attack at the right time. But sometimes you can just have, like, going maneuvering and just, nope, you maneuver the wrong way and you get sunk.
Yeah.
Right? And that happened a lot. And this happened this whole time is, like, both fleets were just maneuvering against each other and they just couldn't get to the right. You know, Yi Sao couldn't get out and so Zhang Bao couldn't either. They're stuck there. Well, Yi Sao was able to capture one of the provincial fleet ships and then killed all 74 members of the ship.
Okay.
Just murdered them.
Yeah.
Was like, cool, good, you know, whatever. You're fine. we're and then destroyed the ship, obviously. So they're just like, we don't want you anymore.
Probably should have taken the ship.
So I just imagine
whatever.
Yeah. Right? Well, this is gonna happen in a minute. We'll see what happens when one of the commanders of the provincial fleet gets very angry.
Oh.
So I like to imagine in provincial fleet and the brigs and the frigates sitting there against the pirate ship, I just like to imagine them just like slowly moving feet by feet, trying to get, you know, get an angle on the other one, but just can't. And then you just see them like, God damn it. Yeah, so slowly, and everything's going on. You see Patrick and you see SpongeBob just looking up and going, wonder what's going on up there. So slow. And it's just horribly boring. Like, right? It's just so boring. And they're all just sitting there, like, you know, looking at their sundial, going like, this isn't really happening today. Let's just go get drunk tonight. You know, like, yeah. Hey, it's fine. You guys go back to your area. We'll go back. We'll see you tomorrow. You know, That's pretty much, I think, what happened.
See, this is why pirates, like, especially in the sailing days, like, never really got off the ground with, like, taking over land very well, because immediately when they got to land, they were like, turtles, that's where it's at. And so they started trying to form armies riding turtle.
The turtle riders, mm-hmm. that was a big thing I heard about.
Yeah, the first real nation, like their nickname was the T-Swifts.
How
do you think she got her name?
Well, it was weird when the turtles just kept trying to shake it off.
Yeah.
Anyways, the provincial leader, who has already lost a battle to Yi Sao and the pirates, Sun Quamo, who has lost the battle in the other one, got impatient.
Yeah.
Just playing the waiting game, obviously, because they're just sitting there like, come on, when's the wind's going to turn my way? When am I going to get, you know, able to take these people down for once? Mm-hmm. Which, honestly, is just literally a Navy battle. It's just sitting there playing the waiting game.
Yeah.
Sun Quamal decided to do a radical, radical change to his style of, like, leadership. And he just wanted to hurry this up, right? So he decided to turn 43 of his ships into fire ships.
Does that mean what I think it means?
He lit them on fire.
Okay.
He lit them on fire. And it's not actually said if he took his own people off before he lit them on fire.
Jesus Christ.
But not really said if he did that or not.
Yeah.
But, and then he sent them into the pirates. Like, he just kind of like, boop, shoved them off into going into the pirates to, like, basically hit them, right?
That'll do it. Like, if you send off 43, I mean, it should. That, I mean, honestly, if at this point, you know he's desperate. Because, like, here's the thing, too. What are the odds? And I don't know if this was, like, covered or if you found anything like this. Like, so you have the dynasty, like, setting up this deal, getting the Portuguese involved, all this other shit. Like, it's all naval. But, like, are they sending in any troops on land behind them?
Nope.
Because if that was going on, holy fuck. I mean, because then it would be a situation where it's like, we're just, like, stuck slightly off the coast. We can't do shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
for sure, yeah. And they didn't.
Their backs
they didn't
to the wall. But
so they were able to continuously repair.
They're just like, God damn it, this is costing me an arm and a leg. Looks over, there's a guy with a wooden arm and a wooden peg leg. And he's like, I didn't mean you, Craig. Shut up. Like,
just, get out of here, Craig. Yeah.
Yar.
Go get on the fire ship. Well, to be fair, it's just like the Mongols shooting body parts filled with the plague over the walls at the Siege of Kaffa in 1346, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sun sent those ships basically set fire at the pirate ships.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I want to put on our dumbest commander of the seas hat, right? We're going to take that hat off of Steed Bonnet's head,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to place that hat right on Sun Quamo's head, right?
Mm-hmm. Long-lost relatives.
Yeah. Which I can imagine the Portuguese just sitting there watching him going, ay, caramba, and then grabbing their popcorn and watching this happen. It's a Simpsons reference.
The Portuguese saying, ay, caramba?
Yeah.
What did they
do? Yeah, because it's actually Portuguese, too.
I'm learning so much right now.
I Googled it.
I'm learning. I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah. I didn't either. I had to Google it to figure out how to say it. I actually Googled how to say ay caramba in Portuguese, and it just said ay caramba.
So we got, they have the same hat maker, if you will.
Yeah, same hat maker.
Yeah.
Well, Yi Sao and Zheng Bao corralled the fire ships and then towed them towards land and then chopped them up to use for firewood so they could cook for themselves. Then two of the fire ships that they didn't catch caught the wind the wrong way.
Oh, no.
And went right back into Sun Quanmo's fleet and destroyed some of their own ships.
Jesus Christ. It's not a good
day.
So
everything he did in this battle destroyed his own ships. That's why I was saying we're going to We're going to give him the Steed Bonnet helm for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
Well, on the 29th of November, so we're about 21 days after the first beginning of the blockade, Yi Shao and Zhang Bo took advantage of the winds, finally broke through the blockade, destroying three more ships from the provincial fleet and losing none of their own.
Damn.
And got back into the South China Sea.
Damn.
Pretty damn good, right?
I mean, because every time they were getting shot, they were at the repair shop getting shot. And they're just like, did you set this up? God damn it.
Yeah, it's like when you're playing Grand Theft Auto and like every time you run into somebody, you just back into the repair shop in the car repair shop. And it's like, and then you just come out, hit somebody because there's always somebody
every
in front of the repair
fucking
shop.
Time. It's actually,
every time.
It's good.
And see,
yeah. It's good business for them.
Yeah. It's true. Wouldn't that be funny if they just, like, comparatively, they just had a business where they just had somebody drive by and hit your car? Well, I guess you got to come back and repair. Well, Zhang Yisao was able to control the ships and the provincial fleet, right, through some of the rules that she created and the punishments she doled out for breaking these rules, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to go into these rules right now so that we can kind of see how they all kept together. So, like, 1,200 ships, right?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Almost 80,000 people. Right,
Christ.
That's a lot of people to govern.
Yeah,
you know, and people for the most part that are not really necessarily one to be governed.
Yeah, it's not why they sign up.
Well, the first rule was only Zhang Yisao could authorize any attack. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go, hey, like I'm going to attack this fleet. I'm going to raid this thing. Can you authorize
it? Like a planned attack.
Okay, now I'm going to go do it.
Yeah,
planned attack.
Yeah.
So. Any attack not authorized by her was punished by beheadings.
Yeah.
Second rule was, loot is to be gathered by the superior on the ship and distributed equally, like we talked about first.
Yeah.
Punish for the first offense of not doing that, basically hoarding stuff and not doling it out to people everywhere else, was a severe beating. And repeat offenders were beheaded.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Third rule was, deserting your post was punishable by having your ears cut off, or I like to call it pre-headed, right?
Yeah.
Pre-headed.
Yeah.
And then if you did it again, you were beheaded.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Yep. I mean, it's a good set of rules, and the punishments were almost always the same.
Yeah.
The fourth rule was, if you rape somebody, you were beheaded.
Okay, I like that rule.
See where this is going?
I'm a fan of the fourth rule, I'm just saying.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Most all infractions ended with beheading.
Okay.
The fifth rule was consensual sex of a prisoner without Yi Sao's permission was punished by beheading. And then your female partner, who you had consensual sex with, as she was a prisoner, was thrown overboard.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So
okay,
So let me explain this.
At first, I was just kind of like, she obviously made that rule based off of her own experience. That's solid. That makes sense.
Yep.
But like, how did we get here?
So she didn't like that unless you married them was one of the biggest things.
Okay.
So it'll come into the next rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll come into the next rule. Yeah.
Okay.
So there was a story about this, and that Yi Shao would basically throw ugly women overboard and would keep the pretty women on board so that the pirates could take wives. No joke, this was a story that she like perpetrated, that she was doing this.
They gotta be like, she's actually pretty fucking dope, honestly. Did you hear we're going to Switzerland next year, bro? Yes, I thought like,
yeah, I mean, it's funny that she did that. And you know, it's like, obviously beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
So she's just throwing about people, whoever she feels like.
Yeah.
But that's going to lead us into our sixth rule.
It's always been hard for us ugly folks out there.
That's right. Yeah, I know. Well, sixth rule. Pirates had to marry female prisoners before they could have sex, right? So this is where you're going into. You had to marry them. Well, if you were caught cheating on your wife or you treated her poorly, do you know what? You want to take a guess what happened?
No popcorn for a week?
You were beheaded.
Okay, that makes...
And then she was allowed to go marry somebody else.
Okay, so that make... I feel like she should have flipped the order of those rules, because like nobody's reading them like, you know, bottom to top or whatever, or like middle through, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm going through and I'm just like, why would you do that? But then like, yeah, that makes sense now, because otherwise it's just like they could just be lying and saying like, oh no, she totally consented and she changed her mind, or and that could cause like a whole bunch of issues, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But like in the context of like, no, you need to have a public fucking ceremony if you want to fuck. Right? Like you can't just lie and say that this prisoner changed their mind and yada yada yada. Like, no, you need to commit. So okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. But
these are and these are for a pirate ship are very sensible rules, you know? And like we all know that people getting, you know, murdered on pirate ships was pretty prevalent, right?
Occasionally
that happened a lot
happened.
Because people sometimes
it
would break rules.
Yeah.
And so to keep this many people together, you have to be very strict, right?
Yeah.
So and she was that, you know, and so was Zhang Bao. They both were very strict in these rules, and they kept the fleet together basically for enough time to create the business that kept them afloat, literally and figuratively, and allowed them to be loyal to each other and coming to aid when other ships or other fleets got in trouble. Well, at the height of what I'd like to call the pirate empire of Zhang Yisao and Zhang Bao, they had about 1,200 to 1,400 ships and in between 60,000 and 80,000 sailors.
He fucking
pirates.
Shit. That is.
That sometimes outnumbers some armies of countries.
That still outnumbers some armies of countries.
Like, yes,
holy
for
fucking
sure.
Shit. You got 1,200 ships under your command. And, like, we're not talking about. I mean, like, the South China Sea is big, but it's not that big. You know what I'm saying? Like,
No, it's not big at all.
1,200 ships guarantees you, if you're living in South China on the coast and you look out across the horizon, probably once every hour, there's one of Zhang Yisao's ships like rolling by. Like, you are on patrol. Like, that is, you own those fucking waters. That is, we're not talking about like the Gulf of Mexico, you know, where it's like, well, like, I mean, even in the Gulf of Mexico, 1,200 ships going around through ports, like, bro, that's every day they're in harbor. Like, that is so much coverage. Holy fucking shit.
No, it's so many. So let's go and kind of compare this, right?
Uh-huh.
So just so you understand. So the Royal Navy right now has 68 ships.
Damn, they really got chopped down to size over the years, haven't they?
Yeah. During the American Revolution, the Royal Navy had 250 ships, right?
Yeah.
That's 1800s as well. So this is around the same time.
Jesus
Granted,
Christ.
The Royal Navy's ships were much, much bigger and much more well armed at the time. But still.
I want to stop you there, though. Here's the deal. Bigger ships turn and move slower.
They don't always win.
Well,
yeah,
like,
they don't always win.
That was,
correct.
This is some, like, I don't know, Scientific USA article I read forever ago, but it's always just like stuck in my mind. It was that the U.S. Navy, the U.S. military, has spent all this time developing these, like, massive fucking, like, cruisers and these fucking, like, battleships and destroyers and shit, like, the top of the line, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, up into the billions of dollars, for these floating cities, right? Like, the current U.S. Navy. In China's response, because, you know, there's the whole dick-swinging game between the East and West, between the militaries of, like, oh, you're going to put that in the news? Guess what we're going to put in the news? Like, China's response was not a bigger ship. It was creating tens of thousands of these, like, super high-powered speedboats that are almost fucking impossible for our multi-billion-dollar ships to actually hit. So, like, they were like, oh, you want to be a giant fucking target? We're going to make 10,000 little ships. They don't fucking cost nothing, and we can swarm your fucking ass and take anything down. So, like, the bigger ship is not necessarily the best. It actually means you take the biggest loss if it goes down.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And to be fair, if you're a pirate, like we talked about in the old pirate episodes, you don't want bigger ships.
No.
You want to be able to
move. You are literally a bigger target for the cannons.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get in and out of places quicker.
Yeah.
You want faster ships. You want to be able to outrun those ships. You want to be able to outmaneuver. And that's part of the reason they had so many.
Yeah.
You know, and they part of the reason why they could have so many. Well, as we all know, great things don't last forever. Mm. You know, doesn't. In 1810, Jing Yi Cao and her forces surrendered to the Qing dynasty and the provincial navy.
Mm.
And I want to go into these reasons because it's not because they were outgunned. The reasons were numerous because they were pretty much undefeated. Besides, they had that one tiny defeat and it really wasn't even their fault.
I'm going to push back on the word surrender here, Joey. But I want to hear your case unless his story's going somewhere else. But sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
When Yi Shao and Zheng Bao, I want to go into this first before we talk about their surrender. So the reason why they started going, okay, maybe we need to maybe acquiesce a little bit, I think would be more of a better word. So
retire.
When they were in the Tongcheng Bay, right, and they were anchored there, they were repairing before, and they were getting blockaded in by the Portuguese and the provincial fleet, right? So they were sitting there before they had the fire ships thrown in on them, and they literally sent them back or used them for firewood. They were calling for help from one of the fleet leaders of the Black Fleet, right? So the Black Flag Fleet was like, I'm not sending you any help. So the Confederations was starting to break down, right? So
yeah.
The rules were starting to be, yeah. So they're not helping each other, which is literally why they formed this.
Yeah.
Well, the leader of the Black Flag Fleet actually surrendered to the Provincial Navy in January of 1810. So there goes a whole fleet. And he surrendered.
Yeah.
The leader did. He was like, I'm done. I'm good. You know, I'm going to go to a life of whatever else he did. It's not mentioned what he did. Well, also, foreign nations were starting to answer the call to help the Qing Dynasty's navy cut off the flow of goods from fleet to fleet. So they're basically starting to cut off and like encroach on these pirates' territory. And, you know, so they're like, oh, okay, these ships, you know, the British, the Spanish, the Portuguese, all started investing in the area and started stemming the tide of the pirates just like they were doing in the Caribbean. They basically had enough of the Caribbean, so they're like, let's go to the other side of the world, try to stop them too. Yi Cao started seeing this and she was like, you know what? Maybe it's time I retired.
Yeah.
That's the word I'm going to use.
Yes.
She retired. So she went with her husband's son to meet with Bei Ling, who was the viceroy of Lingang in February of 1810. Well, like what should have happened because she's so hard-nosed about what she wants, the negotiations broke down because Bei Ling didn't let Yi Cao and Zheng Bao keep, they didn't let them keep 80 ships and 5,000 sailors so that they could enter the salt trade. And also, they wanted to also hunt down pirate ships. They're like, dude, you are a literal leader of a pirate army and navy.
So who knows them
we
better?
We can't let
so
you
who
keep...
knows them better?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, but we can't let you keep 80 ships. We can't let you keep these because you're literally just probably going to go back and do the same thing.
That's twice the size of our navy, bro. Like, we can't let you have
that. Yeah. Well, Yi Cao and Zheng Bao were like, well, let's leave. Like, and they left super quick because they thought it was going to be, they're like, okay, there might be a trap
coming.
We'll
come back around the end of the month when they're nervous about meeting their quota, and then we'll drop that offer. Bet you they'll take it. I need to see the MSRP on this kingdom right here. That's what I need to see.
Well, while they were meeting, and Zheng Bao, like he spied 10 English ships, 10 big ships sailing by right at that moment as they were talking to the viceroy.
Because they were just all bright
little
red.
Yeah. They don't have white flags.
First camouflage in history.
Yeah. Well, he was basically like, he got a little nervous and was like, we should probably go. We should get out of here because maybe they might be, they might just kill us.
Yeah.
Might be a trap. Well, Yi Cao, you know, goes a couple months and Yi Cao's like, or goes a month and Yi Cao's like, let's give this retirement thing another try, right?
Yeah.
So she smartly took 17 women and children who were wives of the pirates and children to the pirates to meet Bei Ling again.
Nice.
Yeah.
Damn.
And this
she's
time,
politicking.
He yielded to whatever she wanted because he was so tired of fighting the pirates. And she told him, if you don't give me what I want, I'm just going to go return to piracy and wreck you again.
Yeah. I'm going to kill all these women and children if you don't give me what I want.
Yeah.
And you know how pissed? And then I'm going to go back to the ship. I'm going to tell all the pirates whose wives and children this is that you did it. Do you want to deal with that?
You know what?
Ooh,
fuck it.
That's genius, too.
I'm tired of this anyways. You know what? Give her whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care. Well, at the beginning, she was like, I want ships. And he said, no, you can't have ships. Well, at this point, he was just like, whatever. And she's like, okay, well, I want 120 ships.
Damn.
And he's like, okay, that's fine. That's fine. 120 ships, I don't care. And then for some reason, they were allowed to marry as well. It mentioned that Zheng Bao and Zheng Yisao also were allowed to marry, which just like, it was
what?
A weird thing of why they weren't allowed to marry, I guess because he was adopted, the son.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, that's a good reason. But also like they probably,
yeah.
I don't imagine these pirates walking into the equivalent of like, you know, court back in the day, you know? They probably weren't just going down to the courthouse, you know, and being like, I can't wait to get this officiated. Like, that wasn't probably a thing.
Yeah.
It was more of like a social kind of acknowledgement, you know?
Like, yeah. And that's true. That's probably what happened. And they were allowed to, like, legally, in quotations, marry, and now they were looked on as husband and wife. Husband, son, and wife, mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, kind of weird.
Yeah, they're a full family in two.
They are full family in two. Well, after that, they're like, well, you guys are great in the military.
Well, so obviously.
Zheng Bao, yeah, was given the title of lieutenant.
Damn.
And he eventually destroyed the Blue Flag fleet he once sailed with. He's just like, they're like, well, you're a great sailor.
Yeah,
obviously. You know how do they think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go out there. And he destroyed him. So there goes most of the fleet that he once sailed with.
Shit.
Well, on top of this, every pirate that sailed with them was equally pardoned. All the Red Flag fleet that surrendered,
good
right? Because that was their big fleet.
Yeah.
They were equally pardoned and then given pork, wine, and money.
Once or like, was this like a like? All right. So
it was a pretty steady thing.
All right,
it was like a good gift.
It feels like everybody just got a Lunchable. Like that's honestly what it's just. It's just like, all right, everybody gets just. They just get a box of wine and then just get these, which kind of Lunchable. I honestly
really like the pizza ones, and I actually snuck some over on the side over here. So if you like them too, you can have a couple of your cool, but we're not going to share these with the rest of the folks. You know what I'm talking about.
Like, that's
no,
what
I think that they got
happening.
Stipends. Yeah. When they also were all allowed to keep all of the treasure they took.
Damn!
So not only were they given stuff, they were allowed to keep the stuff
Damn.
That they stole, literally from the towns, from the provincial ships, from anyone.
See, like, this explains, okay, so, like, yeah, I'd love how you got into the nuance of this, because the five-minute story of Zheng Yisao, badass woman that came out of poverty, she fucking took over, like, the whole piracy empire, or the budding empire, from the person who, you know, literally forced her to become his wife. Right. She fucking took that over. And in a number of years, she put the Chinese Empire like on its knees. Right. Which.
Yep.
Honestly, in terms of negotiations in this situation, she fucking did put the Chinese Empire.
Oh, easy.
On like.
Yeah.
The Chinese Empire, whether it was a representative for them, them as a whole. At some point, the empire, which definitely not a big fan of like bringing in the West. They were 100% aware of what the West was trying to do, right? Like, 100% aware of, like, yeah, when these Portuguese over here, when the Brits get over here, when, the, you know, the Spanish, like, they're trying to set up shop. We don't fucking want that going on here. They had
yep.
to get desperate enough with this situation that they were like, for the
yep.
love of God, will you help us with our pirate crisis that's going on? And the pirate crisis was spurred on, led by, and, like, inspired by Zheng Yisao. Right. And so
yep.
like, but at this moment of kind of these negotiations where Zheng Yisao saw the writing on the wall, you know, but still the brilliancy of her, though, was that she saw the writing on the wall, but early enough that the people who would benefit from that writing on the wall hadn't read it yet, you know, and she
yes.
and she was like, I still have time to negotiate here, and we're going to start that process. But, like, she brought one
well,
of
I'm
the...
I'm in the power.
She brought one of the most... At the end of the day, like, to get through all the boring, like, you know, the legal speak of the documents and the, you know, the Lunchables and all that, you know, like... but she brought them to their fucking knees. She forced them to bring in foreign aid against the wishes of, on a cultural level and on a governmental level, right? Against that, they got that fucking desperate. She forced them to bring in foreign aid to deal with the empire that she built out at sea. And then got a fucking sweet-ass retirement deal out of the deal. Like, she's like, hey, okay, so you know how y'all have been, like, bending your own morals for, you know, me? You don't have to do that anymore if XYZ, XYZ, I marry my son, husband, father, brother. You know, like, and they were like, you know what? Fine. Fuck it. You know, all the Lunchables you want for life, wine boxes, everybody, just fucking, just could, for the love of God, could you
all
stop?
Good. Just go away.
Just stop.
Yeah.
Like, she You're started right. from sex work. She started from poverty and sex work to just when she stepped back out on land as a retiree, you know, like, she had a small fucking fortune. Right.
Yep.
Like, it's so dope, dude. Like, you, I wish there were more detailed records around her, because this fucking, this process is goddamn insane. Like, the truth that I'm sure you came across is, the truth of the matter is, very limited records are around her. It's a lot of, like, when she popped up into port and there was, like, some shit that went down, maybe there were a few notes, you know, but, like, God damn it.
Well, one of the reasons why we do know most about her is because they actually captured a British, like, they captured a British author, I think.
Uh-huh.
And, like, while he was going around, and he wrote about her.
Damn.
And so that's why we know the stories of it. And then it was also translated into the history of the pirates, which is also why we know about Bonnie and Mary Read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's why we get these stories of them, is because somebody gets captured, or, you know, because obviously, like, we know about it. Pirates aren't writing these things down.
You know,
they're not going and being like, I did this on this day.
Yeah, that's
unless you're Steve Bonnet.
Like, no,
unless you're Steve Bonnet.
No pirate is sitting there being like, I'm going to journal everything down, because guess what happens if you get captured? Like,
that's evidence. Yeah.
That's like, no. You don't fucking do that.
Yeah, and I want to go into this, too, because you brought it up. Like, Blackbeard, Charles Vane,
dude, they were
Steed Bonnet,
nothing.
Jack Rackham.
Nothing.
Where did they end up?
Yeah.
Where did they end up? They were all hanged.
Rhode Island. Oh,
they
yeah.
Were all
they were all hanged.
Yep, and these were the most famous pirates in history that we know of,
compared
right?
compared to her, dude. They are not
Yep, and then here comes Zheng Bao and Zheng Yi Cao building this huge fucking fleet. Zheng Yi Cao, like, did it. She did everything. And they're both rewarded for being pirates.
She was,
and then retiring.
Al Capone without the tax issues or syphilis. Like, she just fucking won that shit. Like,
she just walked out.
She's a badass. She's fucking, literally one of the most powerful empires on the planet, just got them to fucking negotiate. And to back the fuck down, and then to just casually become a quote unquote law abiding citizen. That's just like, hi, everybody, like walking around. Holy shit, dude. God damn
it. Yeah. And to basically go into the rest of her life.
Yeah. Where she can have her grandchild. Oh, God.
Her grandson's son. It's her grandson's son.
She gave birth to her own grandchild.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think so, yes. She gave birth to her own grandchild. Ugh. Okay, that's awful.
Yeah, shit got weird. But, you know, geniuses, they got weird minds. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's true. Truth. Well, after this, they surrendered. They retired, and they're the best way to put it. They turned to, like, a normal life.
You got 170 ships or 140 ships. You didn't fucking surrender.
Yeah, no, didn't surrender. You know? They basically still had people
the
working
the white flag
for them,
hadn't
so
been invented yet. There was no surrender.
No, they were still the red flag.
Exactly.
They went to a normal life after it, basically. Zheng Bao, after he did a few years in the service, mm-hmm. they transferred him away from the sea. In 1813, she gave birth to her third son, because she did not have her husband.
Her husband?
Her husband.
Is her grandchild, though.
Is her grandchild, okay, technically, because cool. she had it with the...
Okay.
So I just wanted to make clear, it was her third birth son. It wasn't her third
son.
Technically four sons, right? Yeah. So, because she had the adopted son,
this
who
shit
was
gets
also
weird.
Now
yeah.
her husband.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like a huge... It's just a huge circle, actually. Is there a family tree?
Yeah.
It's curled back up. Yeah. Mm. And then, like we talked about earlier, sometime after that, gave birth to a daughter. Not noted.
Wah.
Like normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they had settled down, and Zheng Bao moved to the provincial army's ranks, basically,
yeah.
being promoted to colonel in charge of the Penghu garrison. However, at age 39... Zheng Bao died.
No.
She outlasted two husbands.
And a son.
And a son.
Damn.
Well, Yi Sao, however, wasn't done.
Oh, shit.
She ended up opening a very successful gambling hall in Guangdong, and she got even richer from that.
Fucking bad.
So
yeah.
She eventually passed away
aww.
In her home at the age of 69.
Nice.
In 1844, living a long and successful life, retired.
She kicked ass. I mean, I don't agree with the route that she went, but I don't want to say different times, but 100% different upbringing conditions. Knock that. God damn.
Zheng Yi Sao lived an amazing life. Going from basic poverty to literal riches at the end of her life running a gambling hall. She outlived two husbands, one of which was her son husband,
yeah.
and ended up having four kids of her own.
Damn.
As we compare her to the Caribbean pirates, because obviously they're all pirates, we compare them to each other, of similar stature and fame, they can't even stack up to the wealth, military, and leadership prowess or even economical prowess that she showed in just under a freaking decade. Like, not even that long she built this up.
No.
And I think she should be held up as the golden standard of successful pirates, because it wasn't that she lived the pirate life, it's that she lived the pirate life and then ended it in the most pirate way, running a gambling hall and dying of old age. Something can't be said for the other pirates of the time period. She was truly the golden standard and the golden age of piracy.
She is the OG. Like, she is mm-hmm. the gold standard. I don't think there is one tale of her having to flash her boobs in order to confuse men on the other ships and scare them away and win battles. Like,
nope.
she fucking did it. She won.
Yep. Yep, she won.
Like, that's all there is
to it.
That's
the end of the story. She won, yeah.
She had yep. a better life at the time of her death than she did around the time of her birth. She won.
Yes.
Just hands down.
Yes, easy. Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
Like.
Hell yeah.
Ah, so good. We've been waiting forever. It is, I don't know, it's a small little factoid in history, but for us in the West, you know, Zheng Yi Sao is not a household name, which is like a disgrace to anybody who claims to know about or like or be interested in that time period of like history of like the high seas and piracy and shit like that. Zheng Yi Sao is such a fucking beast. It's like, it's the equivalent of like, it's literally the equivalent of being like, who's Al Capone? You know, like I brought him up earlier, but like, it's on that level of like one of the most notorious gangsters of all fucking time. Like, how could you? And like, for it to be a woman fighting against that many other things, you know, that many other social ceilings around her
and to do what she did, to bring the fucking, like, to bring the dynasty to its knees and accept her openly and publicly retiring and living a happy life, and then opening a goddamn gambling hall, which I'm sure the local police force wasn't exactly cool with, you know?
Like, no, let's she was talk just about like, that. What are you going to do?
Yeah, let's talk about that period of time.
Let me send my ships at you.
You know she was like just like a sweet little old lady in her 60s. Like, I still knew 80,000 men that'll fucking slit your throat in your sleep if you say anything.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And just walks off. Like, I'll, bitch, I'll marry you your son, motherfucker. Just get out of my way. Like, you know.
And take half your all of your property.
And getting to the point of like 170 ships where it's like, okay, fine. You can still totally decimate us with the amount of shit we're negotiating that you can have.
Yeah.
Like, because she took those 170 ships, she took that as a reassurance. Like, if you don't let me do this, I'll go right back to this motherfucker. You see what I can do. So, like, I need a little bit of a safeguard that y'all are going to be good on your word and not going to slit my throat in the middle of the night. Like, you know, that's what that 170 meant. It wasn't for salt business. Where the fuck was she taking that salt? They're already on land, you know? Like, No. Like,
and the pirates she was hunting could have been those provincial leaders. Yes. She's just like, you're my pirates now.
Yeah, so like, she like, oh yeah, by the way, half of my military is now incorporated, and because they're really good, they're now ranking in your military. Guess what happens if I raise the flag, motherfucker? Like, bro, was a very tense negotiation. This wasn't like, she was the best. Hands down, in known history, Genghis Khan was the best fucking pirate in history. And like, just a badass. Just a fucking badass. And like, damn.
She basically was like, our flag started white, but they ended up red because of all the blood. It's like... that's scary.
Okay, well, that's an issue. Okay. That's an issue. It's like,
that's an issue.
Half our people are geniuses, the other half are crazy, and the other half are crazy geniuses. Which third do you want to deal with, you know?
Yeah, he's like, what?
What? Do they speak English and what, motherfucker? Say what again?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Pulp Fiction in a
while. Well, I did say that I was going to give you guys the references at the end of the show, so I wanted to give them to you.
Please do.
We did a bunch of YouTube videos. They'll be listed in the show notes. A few Wikipedia articles on the Qing Dynasty because I wanted to learn about them because they're really freaking 300 years. It's crazy.
A long time. Yeah.
But the book that I really loved, and I used it for Anne, Bonnie, and Mary Read as well, and if you get a chance, please read it. Did the audiobook version, just so great. Has a bunch of different pirate women who are badasses. It's called Pirate Women, the Princesses, Prostitutes, and Privateers Who Ruled the Seven Seas by Laura Suk Duncombe. And you can find it on Amazon. Pretty awesome books. That was one of the main things to give the whole backstory of Genghis Khan. So great reference. And thank you everybody for listening to this episode. And we can't wait for next week, as Gil's got some awesome stuff up his sleeve.
Can I tell him a little bit? I'm gonna tell him a little bit. You guys
do it anyways.
You already know by now, because it is 12:18 on Monday morning, right? This is the backstory for the folks that actually stuck around, that are hearing this all the way through. This is the reward right now. God damn it! Oh God, I'm so fucking stoked. I came across an 81-page report made by Jayon Hynek's team back in 1975. The report was published in 1976. This report has, for all intents and purposes, been completely lost. And I gotta fucking tell you, this is the most exciting, the most credible and the most legitimate documentation of a mass UFO sighting in history. And here's the deal. You've never heard of it.
I can almost guarantee you, you've never heard of it. And the shit and the way that things transpire in this report, documented by former Blue Book, you know, at J. Allen Hynek with his fucking crew, this shit is fucking nuts. The amount of stuff that I read, just like page by page, I had texted Joey and I had told him, I was like, dude, every two pages of this report could be an entire fucking episode. Like, this is insane. Like, the amount of shit that happened is fucking, and it's so fucking well documented. Well, long of it, short of it, I was rushing, I was pushing to try to get it out. And I fucking hit a wall. I hit a wall where I was just like, I've studied this, I've gone over this, I've broken it all down, I've gotten into a timeline, I'm ready to make it into a show, and I just couldn't write it at that point. My brain shut the fuck off. And so we had to delay recording and getting out the episode, but as always, and I hope that the longtime listeners know by now, if we're delaying an episode, it's because we're pushing quality, right, over quantity. We're not just trying to just, like, throw some shit out there.
For sure.
God damn it. Oh, I'm getting the fucking, I'm not gonna be able to sleep tonight because I'm fucking stoked just thinking about this, but
he won't actually.
It's weird. That I uncovered, I cannot stress this enough, no one has. I found this, a scan of this fucking report on what I'm pretty sure is somebody's private server that they forgot to password protect. That eventually, through a long chain of searching, I was led to. This isn't supposed to be public, but it used to be public, and sorry, homie, you left your shit exposed to the world. Like, I don't know what to tell you, but this is, oh, God, you can't, there's one reference to it. It's 8 minutes long somewhere out there in the world. If you can find it, fucking, I'll send you a tizzy pop, I don't know. Anyways, we got a two-part series coming up.
Oh, my God, baby.
Y'all are going to be so much fucking weirder after you hear it.
I can't wait.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. I'm done. I promise.
We got some exciting stuff coming up. We've got some amazing stuff of a book I just found, too, right after his two-part series.
Mm-hmm.
We got some crazy stuff coming up, so keep
stoked.
Listening.
So stoked.
And you know what? You know what, guys?
Yeah.
Keep tenderly loving. Because this is the week after Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just stop on Valentine's Day.
No.
Keep tendering each other with love.
Yeah.
And even, you know, even if you're not with somebody,
yeah,
love everybody you're with.
Go talk to your son. Keep tenderly loving the coastlines of your life.
Yes. Hey, that's what they were doing. That's what they're doing. Thank you, everybody.
Thank y'all. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Black Cat Report in episode 85, Jing Yi Sao. Keep up to date with us on Instagram with all the new updates and for new merch information. We'll be heading out to a few UFO fests in the area in the next few months, so catch up with us there. And we'll see you next time on the other side.